Good morning, everyone. The committee will come to order. We're going to get started. We have only one bill up this morning, and members, as we're getting into our final stretch here of the this part of the legislative session, where we start to increasingly move bills out of committees and increasingly into kind of our big umbrella to our big umbrella committees, and then eventually, obviously, we'll be spending a lot more time on the floor. We're trying to make sure that we're covering all our bases in terms of bills that could be heard. Part of the way this works, as you all know, is that there are bills over in the Senate that if we didn't hear here, you know, they hopefully have moved those to make their first committee deadline, and obviously making the first deadline in the first body allows us an extra week in the other body to hear bills. So part of what we've been trying to do is figure out what bills we haven't heard to make sure that the Senate was making the first deadline, and so we've been learning what bills haven't. And so, members, if you have bills that you're not sure of what's happened with them in the Senate, hoping that you make second deadline, I suggest you check with the Senate. There were several bills that we had hoped to tee up this week that did not make first deadline over in the Senate. And there's a little bit of confusion in the Senate because they have combined their policy committee and their finance committee into one committee. You know, who cares about joint rules, right? But that means that we've had to very specifically inquire of the Senate whether a particular bill has met first deadline, because we can't figure that out from this end. And so they've done some confirmations with us about bills that, in fact, have not made first deadline. So if you have any of those bills, please do check with the Senate. So all that lengthy opening by way of saying that we had hoped to have a couple of bills this morning, but instead we have one. But it's an important bill, and so hopefully we'll have plenty of time to go through it. We have quite a few testifiers lined up to testify on all sides of the bill, and so we want to make sure we'll have enough time to hear from them. In the meantime, however, I'm wondering if one of our very good members would move the minutes of February, March 27th.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative McFarland moves adoption of the minutes of Friday, March 27th. They're in your packet, members. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you. And so the bill up before us is House File 1198, Representative Dabney. And we have a group of high school pages here. I went over and introduced myself to them. A couple of them are actually, one is a constituent, and two others are folks that are related to people that I know or have been constituents. And then we've got a great diversity of Greater Minnesota, pages from Greater Minnesota, from suburban communities. And so welcome. Good to have you here today. Let's show them our appreciation for being here. Very well. Representative Dabney, would you care to move your bill?
Good morning, Chair and members. I'd like to move the House File 1198 to be recommended passed and referred to the General Register.
Very well. Representative Dabney moves House File 1198 be recommended to pass and move to the General Register. And you have an amendment, I believe.
Mr. Chair, I have the 1198 DE1 amendment I'd like to move at this time.
Very well. Representative Dabney moves the DE1 amendment. And if you can tell us briefly, is this a delete all amendment or is it a...
Mr. Chair, it is a delete all amendment. It does bring the bill in line with the work of the Senate committee. It deletes the requirement that schools and districts do data collection on incidents of bullying, violence, intimidation, and the like, as well as deleting the requirement that, I believe it deletes the requirement that districts send in their new policies to the Commission of Education for approval. I think the thought of 363 school districts plus how many ever charters all sending their policy in for Commissioner Segrin to read would seem as maybe a bit too much.
The commissioner does not have that much time on her hands. I can testify to that. So Representative Ebony moves the DE1 amendment, which is delete all amendment, puts the bill in shape, and which we'll be debating and discussing it today. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Representative Ebony, your bill as amended is before us.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, members. And Mr. Chair, as you know, I have a handout. If one of the pages could simply move it around the committee, pass it to the committee, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Pardon? Mr. Chair, I have full confidence you'll figure out what to do with it unsupervised and without direction.
Can we have a page come down and help with that?
Members, current Minnesota Statute 121A.03 requires Minnesota school districts to have a sexual, religious, and racial harassment policy that protects the learning environment and safety of students in the school. The policy must conform with the Minnesota Human Rights Act 363A, which includes in its education article prohibitions on discrimination against students due to their race, color, creed, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, disability, status with regard to public assistance, and sexual orientation. Unfortunately, too few of the policies studied fully and clearly assure all students and their families that they are protected from discrimination and its manifestation in school hallways and locker rooms, on playgrounds and in classrooms. Intimidation, bullying, harassment, hazing, and violence. House File 1198 then simply brings the groups intended to be included in the current policies by reference to the State Human Rights Act into the full policy, while also assuring students that bullying will not be tolerated against them based on their physical characteristics or their association or perceived association with any of the enumerated groups. Mr. Chair, I have a number of witnesses with me today who I'd ask to come up at this time to present.
Representative Abney, please bring your witnesses forward. I was pretty good in that mirror, by the way.
It's no surprise, Mr. Chair.
Can I take that one home and bring you the ones I have at home? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair and committee members, for the record, I'm Jody Boer with Education Minnesota. Glad to be here with you this morning. And just have a few brief comments. First of all, we would like to thank Representative Downey for supporting this bill and his work on this bill, and we just want to also offer our support on the bill. A piece in the bill especially is the training component, and we think that that is really important. The more that teachers can be trained, the better they can help create an environment that is conducive for students to learn, which is the overall goal I think that we're all seeking. And so we just want to offer our support. And again, thank you for your work on this bill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Debbie, you have other testifiers?
They're coming down.
Okay, very well.
Hi, my name is Andy Berlin, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify today.
Good morning. Good to have students here.
I feel lucky these days that what I worry about are normal student things, like whether I'll be able to pass my chemistry test. When it comes to school, I used to worry about other things besides academics. When I was in sixth grade, students began to notice that I was different and started calling me homophobic slurs. By the time I was in 8th grade, I was experiencing verbal, physical, or sexual harassment almost every day. Several older students would follow me around, taunt me, grab me, and then ask me if I liked it. I felt extremely humiliated and became very depressed. My grades were deeply affected. Instead of focusing on my schoolwork, I was focusing on getting through my day without being bullied. I was often late to class because I'd wait until all the other students were out of the halls so I wouldn't have to face the hazing. In classes where I was struggling, I was often afraid to ask for help for fear of bringing attention onto myself. If a teacher offered to help me after school, I rarely stayed because I wanted to get out of school as quickly as possible. I skipped school at least once a week. Although one teacher and the school psychologist were very supportive, not all of the staff were proactive in making the school safe. The assistant principal said he felt sorry for what I was going through, but implied that I brought the abuse onto myself by choosing to be homosexual. Most teachers seemed afraid to speak out against homophobic slurs. When another student made a harmful comment about my sexuality in class, the teacher typically ignored it. In 10th grade, I transferred schools because I couldn't take the pain anymore. I now attend Perfect Center for the Arts Education, a school that strictly enforces rules about harassment, including harassment due to sexual orientation. I'm thriving now that I'm attending a school where I feel safe. I've been able to come out of the closet as gay. My grades have improved, and I feel respected by both my classmates and my teachers. College hadn't felt like an option before, but now I realize I deserve the opportunity to continue my education and have been accepted into several universities. However, I'm constantly thinking about many students who are still facing harassment. Without the protection of those in authority, students who are viewed as different are vulnerable. They might be different because they have a disability, or born in another country, or because they are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. To me, the Safe School for All bill, currently under consideration, is not political, but personal. I know that getting a good education is simply not possible when you're in an environment where you're not safe to be you. Passing the Safe School for All bill would mean that schools would have to have effective anti-bullying policies, and teachers would have to be trained in how to effectively intervene when harassment occurs. I want the students who are still facing harassment to know that bullying will stop because our legislature says it must. I want them to be able to start worrying about their chemistry test instead of whether they will be sat on while walking down the hall. I want their grades to improve too, like mine has. I want the legislators to stand up to the bullies and pass the Safe School for All bill so students can do what they're supposed to do, which is learn.
Thank you, Andy. So you're at the Purpose School right now? You said,
yes.
And what grade are you in now?
I'm a senior.
You are? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about post-secondary college?
Yes.
Yeah. Any ideas of where you're going to be going?
It's between Loyola University in Chicago and Columbia College in Chicago.
That is wonderful. It's great to see students striving for excellence. And I also want to acknowledge it takes a lot of courage for any person, but a young person in particular, to come forward and testify on some very difficult challenges you've had in your life. And hopefully we can all stand with you as you continue to strive for excellence in your life and in your academics as well. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Representative Abbott, who's... And members, I apologize. I should be. If there are any questions at any point, please let me know. And you can always call witnesses back up if I rush them off of the testifiers' table for you not to be able to ask questions. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Steve Larson, and I'm the Public Policy Director for the ARC of Minnesota. And we provide advocacy and support for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. And for the record, I was a high school student 40 years ago. This year, as a matter of fact.
Mr. Larson, you and I probably were in high school at the same time. So.
Oh, I doubt that, Mr. Chair. In preparing testimony, I accessed the National Center for Bullying Prevention. And one of the first lines in there is that targets tend to be different. They might have a different ethnic background, language, religion, disability, race, or appearance that other kids in their school or neighborhood. Such differences can be the first thing that a child who bullies notices. In querying our advocates, and ARC advocates work around the state to support students with disabilities in their schools, we are actively working on several cases of students being bullied or harassed in schools. In this particular instance, a student in a southern Minnesota school who has Asperger's has significantly been impacted by bullying. The student has been cornered in the hallways. He's been pushed around. The student couldn't get out of this and ended up hitting the other student, and both kids were suspended from school. The student carries his book with him to every class, rarely uses his locker. The student went to his locker one day after not being there for over 2 weeks and found a rotten pumpkin in it. It was reported to the principal, and the principal just told him to throw it away. There are several other instances in this particular case that I could share. The school has not done anything to address the needs of this student to get a education in a public school. There is training available. Pacer Center has a curriculum on bullying. It's available. If you go on your website, you can click on the right buttons and they'll be willing to come out to the schools and train on bullying. So the training is easily accessible. There are curriculums that exist. Because of the type of situation I described, I believe that all schools, all students, and all families would benefit from House File 1198. All teachers, all administration, and all students need to be trained and educated that harassment and bullying is not okay. All schools need to be held accountable for the training of staff members as well as students on harassment policies. Later on, we'll hear testimony that bullying policies and training are most effective when it clearly defines the categories of areas of bullying, such as students with disabilities. Every student deserves a safe place at school. School should be a place of not only learning, but also a place of friendship and good memories. It should not be a place to be scared of or intimidated. I am asking you today to support House File 1198. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. And you mentioned that there is training opportunities available. I took that to mean both generally, but also through your organization, ARC. Is that correct, the schools?
Yes.
And so how often does that happen? Are you called upon? Is that called upon frequently to provide that kind of background information, potential training?
ARC is called on occasionally, but the Pacer Center has a federal grant that has a curriculum. And so if they have a staff person here who wanted to get perhaps more specifics on that.
Very well. Thank you. Any questions, members? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Daffy. Muy buenos dias, Señor Muñoz. Gusto en verlo.
Hola. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rogelio Muñoz. I'm the Executive Director on the State Council on Latino Affairs. And I'm here today to offer the Council support for the passage of this bill as it pertains to protecting our students in public schools and equipping them with a suitable learning environment and safe place to succeed academically. First and foremost, let me begin by saying that each of us in this room have two things in common: a shared interest and shared responsibility to ensuring our students' safety and academic achievement in the classroom. For the past 3 years as Director of the Council, our work has taken us to virtually every corner of the state, engaging with community leaders, school officials, families, and students to discuss issues most important to the Latino community. While it may be no surprise, education and the need to further address the disparities of the issue has consistently ranked the top priority. Whether it be the achievement gap, the low graduation rates, or access to higher education, the issue of bullying, harassment, and intimidation in school has also become a significant concern among Latino parents and students across the state, especially in our growing cluster communities in Greater Minnesota and in pockets in the Twin Cities. Although bullying has been recognized as a serious problem in our schools throughout the U.S. since the late 1990s, little is known about racial and ethnic bullying, and Minnesota is no exception. While in our state there has been every effort to study and address issues that impact students of color in our schools, there are none that address the issue of bullying in school because someone may appear to be Asian, Muslim, or of Latino descent, a new American, or an immigrant. Just a couple of weeks ago, a national Hispanic magazine reported that minority youth are far more likely to be targets of bullies than their white peers. And during times of controversial policy issues at the state or national level, say immigration, for example, students are certainly impacted by the negative rhetoric used in politics and the media. Most recently in Minnesota, during the 2006 rallies for immigration reform and the DREAM Act, Latino students from across our state reported incidents of bullying and racial slurs and were often targets of anti-Latino sentiment. For some students were told to go back to Mexico and stay there, when in fact they were third generation and born here in Minnesota. According to a Minneapolis nonprofit organization that works with Latino youth, when students experience this type of bullying, intimidation, and harassment, they look for security and turn to gangs or for safety or drugs to ease the pain and embarrassment. With this policy presented to you today, we win by providing all students and families with the necessary channels of support to address bullying in the school without having students to seek drastic means of protection such as gangs and violence. Currently, Minnesota's diverse and minority communities make up a little over 14% of the total population, while the makeup of students of color, as you know, is much higher at 24%, almost one quarter of the entire student enrollment. The breakdown on last year's student enrollment and accounted for African and African American students at 10%, Asian students at 6%, 2% for American Indian students, and 6% for Latino students. Given the makeup and composition of our students of color in public schools, it is imperative today that we make a concerted effort to pass a real and holistic policy that protects all students and families, regardless of their racial or social background, status, age, or association. The notion or viewpoint that this bill is to push forth an agenda or protect a certain or particular cohort of students is completely distorted. The enhancement of this policy is necessary to provide a safeguard for all students who may encounter bullying, harassment, and intimidation at school. Ultimately, all students in Minnesota, regardless of what grade they may be in, should grow up free from fear, intimidation, and harassment at school. By strengthening this policy, we will make Minnesota schools a safer and secure for all students to succeed and reach their highest potential.
Thank you, Mr. Munoz, and thank you for the work that you've done and CLAC has done over the years. It's an institution, a state department, and that has been a part of our state government feature, along with a number of the other racial ethnic councils for a couple of decades now. And I appreciate the work that you've done on behalf of Minnesotans in regards to issues within those communities and how those issues interact with the rest of the broader community. Are there any questions for Mr. Munoz? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Abney. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Hazen, and I live and work in Minnesota as the National Training and Advocacy Manager for Family Equality Council. The Minnesota Human Rights Act protects against many specific forms of discrimination in Minnesota schools. As harassment is a form of discrimination, school harassment policies should be consistent with the Minnesota Human Rights Act. However, Statute 121A.03 currently only requires school districts to have a policy that prohibits harassment based on race, sex, and religion. As a result, school policies fail to prohibit harassment based on disability, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, and other classes protected by state law. One study that found that 93% of school districts across the state do not include sexual orientation in their harassment policies. This is in stark contrast to the 90% of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender students in Minnesota who experience harassment due to their sexual orientation, and 40% of students with gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender parents nationally who experience harassment at school. The study also found that nearly 80% of districts use the MSBA's model policy, which only prohibits harassment based on race, sex, and religion. That means that at least 80% of Minnesota school districts do not prohibit harassment based on disability, national origin, or other Human Rights Act categories. Some might argue, why do we need to enumerate specific categories? Can't we just say all forms of harassment and bullying are prohibited? Unfortunately, generic policies are not sufficient. Harassment and bullying of any kind is unacceptable. Historically, however, people with certain characteristics have been subject to systematic discrimination and have been at disproportionate risk of bullying and harassment. As we have heard today, being gay, having a disability, or being from another country are characteristics that put students at higher risk. Including these specific categories sends a message to students and staff that even the forms of harassment that are so pervasive as to have become almost invisible are prohibited and will be taken as seriously as any other form of harassment. Furthermore, without specific protections, even well-meaning teachers are sometimes reluctant to intervene in certain types of harassment. The specific inclusion of these categories is necessary in order to give the staff the backing they need to respond to these forms of harassment. Research also shows that enumerated policies are more effective than generic policies. Students in schools with enumerated policies experience less harassment and see school staff intervene more effectively. States with enumerated safe schools legislation, such as this bill, saw significant decreases in frequency of verbal harassment based on sexual orientation over a 5-year period. There were no significant changes over time among students from states with generic bullying laws that were not enumerated and those with no laws whatsoever. Furthermore, there were no differences between students from states with generic laws and those with no laws in the reported frequency of verbal harassment, and both were significantly higher than students from states with enumerated safe schools legislation. This bill does not mandate curriculum of any kind. It has nothing to do with gay marriage and does not require anyone to accept another person's sexual orientation or any other personal characteristic. This bill simply strengthens existing policy that aims to keep kids safe from harassment so they can focus on learning. As a parent of a child who will be entering kindergarten in the fall, and on behalf of hundreds of other Minnesota families, I urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hazen. Are there any questions? So, and I suppose this is for Representative Abney as well, but you referenced the state human rights charter, and so I'm assuming that the language in the DE one amendment on page one reflects the existing language in our state human rights statute. Is that correct,
Mr. Chair? 121, the current statute on bullying and harassment in the schools references the State Human Rights Act. If you line the two of them up, line up this legislation with the State Human Rights Act, the only differences are we are adding physical characteristics, and depending on how you read the Human Rights Act, there is reference in there to prohibiting retaliation based on association with other groups. So gender identity and expression, which I think is similar or same to gender sexual orientation, is in both. Sex, marital status, all of these things are in both. So by reference in the existing statute, all of these items are already incorporated with the exception of association and physical characteristics.
Thank you, Representative Dad. I wanted to make sure the witness has testified that in many ways we're recognizing and aligning what's an existing law with this part of the statute having to do with bullying.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. At this time, we're really asking children and their families to go on a hunt through statute, because if they find the school's policy, it's supposed to conform with the Human Rights Act. Research shows that it often does not explicitly. We then ask them to find the statute, and from the statute find the Human Rights Act, and we're simply saying, let's make it easy for everyone and pull the references and the inferences into the existing statute.
Thank you. And Ms. Hazen, the studies, and I should have been paying more attention, I can't write notes and listen at the same time. It's sort of like driving and speaking for me. But is it the male condition? I've been struggling with it my whole life. So, yeah. Although Representative Riley last night, too bad Representative Brown isn't here, Representative Ward, because we were driving together, and for a brief second we got a little turned around down in Farmington, and I did a very unmale-like suggestion. I suggested we should stop to ask for directions.
No.
4 hours later, we made it back.
We were the last ones there.
So Ms. Hazen, I should have been paying more attention, but you had referenced studies looking at different policies, approaches across different states. Tell us a little bit more about those studies. Those are studies done by who?
Our organization examined some of the policies, and the 93% statistic that I referred to was found by University of Minnesota at Duluth graduate students in 2005.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? If not, then our next testifier. Thank you, Ms. Hazen. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking your time to talk about the school safety issues. I'm Monica Meyer. I'm the public policy director for Outfront Minnesota. And Outfront Minnesota is a statewide organization. And so in thinking about what I was going to share, I come here with lots and lots of stories from parents and from students and from teachers and administrators who really just want extra tools for being able to provide a safe learning environment. You hear from parents who, I mean, if any of you have had your, you know, kids getting bullied, I mean, they call because they're so frustrated because they can't figure out how to protect their kids. There was a mom that I've been talking to recently, and she couldn't make it to testify, but her kid was popular in sports, doing really well. He decided to let other students know that he was gay, a few of them. Everyone in the school started, there was a rumor mill, and everyone found out about it, and that's when the harassment started. And it got progressively worse. He tried to tell a couple teachers, and the teachers treated it. I mean, they tried to work with them, and they said, you know, this is probably an isolated incident. This is one bad kid who's a bully. You know, we'll try to address this. It got progressively worse, so that in fact his car was getting vandalized. They keyed bad things into his car, and he actually asked his mom to not talk to anyone anymore. He decided to not tell anyone about what was happening because he feared that the more he talked about it, the worse the harassment would get. And so he just skipped school sometimes if he felt like it was kind of Wild Friday and just kind of crossed out the days and counting down until he could graduate. And that's just one story out of many that we hear. And then the other thing that we hear from is teachers. So teachers around the state, they talk about having these anti-bullying, you know, policies and anti-harassment policies. And what they've asked us is to do is just to make it a little bit easier for them. They'd actually like for students to be able to help them in really enforcing these policies, and also they would like the policies to be more explicit. It's a lot easier if you are listing off who you can't harass and bully, and show that it's actually not a subjective, you know, kind of whim that you're enforcing some kind of anti-bullying policy. Particularly with the youth that we work with, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth, for them and for the teachers who want to protect them, it would be a lot easier if there were protections in a student handbook that included sexual orientation in it. And so we of course are very interested in this bill, and I just think a couple other things that I wanted to draw your attention to is there were a lot of groups who aren't here today who are very much in support of this bill. The Minnesota PTA, the Minnesota School Counselors Association, school social workers, school nurse organization, and on, and you have a list of those in front of you, the CIRS Institute, and other groups. And they also have been very interested in the fact that there is enumeration. And so, you know, I just think about in Romer v. Evans in 96, where the Supreme Court explained that enumeration is the essential device used to make the duty not to discriminate concrete and to provide guidance for those who must comply. And that's all we're asking in this piece of legislation. And I guess the one other thing that I know that that'll be discussed is the training component. And the training component, if you look at the language around the training component, it's intentionally vague, so that schools can really do what they talk about the new policy change in the way that they're talking about already how they're addressing bullying. So we really want, we know some schools will just update the handbooks, let the teachers know, and when the students at the beginning of the year, when they're talking about their student handbooks and they go through them, that then they're able to talk about the new policy. So we understand that schools are burdened, they're doing a lot, and but that the training component is intentionally vague. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Meyer, and I was just searching the language members on the training component, and we find it on page 2 of the Delete All Online 2.0. Well, it's the end of that first paragraph of the specific language is lines 2.7, 2.8. Are there any questions for Ms. Meyer? Thank you for your testimony. Representative Devin, is that it for your testimony?
I believe that completes. No. Oh, I'm sorry. This gentleman, apparently.
Okay, we do have other folks who have offered to testify, but I just want to make sure we identify your testifiers first. So, good morning, sir. If you can state your name for the record and give us your testimony, we'd appreciate it.
My name is John Dean, and I live in Minneapolis, and I strongly favor this bill. I only recently heard about this, so I'm not fully ready.
Quite all right.
Plus, I have a speech impediment, so if I start...
Well, Mr. Dean, you'll notice that the chair isn't always ready either, so you're in good company or bad company, I'm not quite sure, but nonetheless, it's good to have you here.
Thank you. What I decided to do is just write off a few thoughts. I didn't even know how they pertain to the flow. I've heard several speakers now, and they're all good. So, listen up. Oh, I've got class. Yeah.
Brief is appreciated, yes indeed.
This hearing today discussing a bill, H.R. 1198, we call anti-bullying, pertains to Minnesota public schools and all schools. And it is an end product of decades of leniency in society at large, and schools in particular. Every section and facet of our society, in order to be civil and just, requires that the citizens or constituents of that society be civil and respectful of one another in attitude and behavior. When we are not respectful of one another, then we as a society are at risk of devolving into lawlessness and even criminality. We become defacers of persons and property, practitioners of bullying, and the weaker ones among us suffer and are mistreated. They can and do become fearful, oppressed, depressed, and seemingly feeling hopeless, often because adults who should be their rescuers become effect bystanders who are either unable or unwilling or not allowed to intervene on behalf of the weaker children, who also feel defenseless and overwhelmed. This situation is despicable and unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. Shouldn't the parents of bullied children who paid taxes to build schools in the first place expect that their beloved and cared for children, for whom they pour out their lifeblood and sweat and tears in order to raise them, shouldn't these parents expect that their children will be protected from harm while they attend school? Can children be victims of hostility, animosity, and hatred from their peers? They surely can be, and often are victimized by bullies when we allow this to happen. We need to stop allowing this to happen. Youth need to be held in check, not to let you squelch freedom of expression, but to protect it for all. Young people need to be instructed. They need to be shown what is right and wrong. Sometimes youth need to be corrected and punished for disrespect and misbehavior. The purpose for schooling is to lead children into capable, qualified, healthy, and responsible adulthood, from which proceeds intelligence, prosperity, and success. Bullying deserves zero tolerance. That's all I wrote. That's all I had time to write. I was in a hurry.
Wonderful. Thank you for your powerful testimony, Mr. Dean. Appreciate you being with us this
morning.
Do you have
any response?
Are there any questions? We'll continue to debate this bill for the next 45 minutes, so please don't go away. Representative Denner, I think it's up to your testifiers. I do have a list of individuals. after all six meetings? Oh, Representative Greiland, you had a question at this point? Or?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm going to pass.
Okay, very well. Then I have a number of people lined up to testify. Mr. Tom Pritchard, Leslie Chaudhry, and perhaps if you can come up and choose, that would be good in terms of just maximizing our time. Mr. Pritchard, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Pritchard, President of Minnesota Family Council, and I have a handout for the committee.
So the pages can help with the handout?
Okay, thank you. I'm here to speak in opposition to this bill, and let me first state clearly we oppose all forms of bullying. I don't think there's probably anybody in this committee who hasn't experienced it personally growing up. I certainly have, and we know how devastating that can be to an individual's life. So we really think it's a serious issue and needs to be dealt with seriously. But we do believe that the current policy is appropriate, that is in state law, which requires that bullying and that it be addressed, intimidation and bullying in all its forms. So the policy currently in state law is comprehensive. We're concerned about this legislation because we see it as really a Trojan horse, possibly, for using the state's anti-bullying policy, which will move from addressing bullying in words and deeds to endorsing and indoctrinating school officials and children on controversial issues. The language, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression encompasses homosexuality, bisexuality, transvestitism, cross-dressing, and transsexualism. So we're concerned about where this bill is going to go in terms of not addressing actions and words which are inappropriate, whether directed at gay, lesbian students or others, but getting behind that and trying to change people's beliefs and attitudes. How will this indoctrination or endorsement occur? Well, first of all, Subdivision 2 says that the schools must develop a process for discussing the school's bullying policy with students and school officials, and school employees shall receive training. Thus, schools will now be required to utilize curriculum and other materials to ensure that this bullying doesn't occur, harassment and other things. An example of the curriculum out there, which I think will be used and is already being used under the guise of bullying, is, for instance, a curriculum in Hale Elementary, which you'll be hearing from some parents on, called Welcoming Schools, developed by the Human Rights Campaign Fund. This curriculum seeks to address, quote, family diversity, including GLBT families, and it addresses anti-gay bias within discussions of bullying. Our concern is that this new change in the law will be utilized to bring in not just addressing the bullying aspect through curriculums, but getting at attitudes and beliefs of students on a wide variety of issues, from same-sex marriage to appropriate gender activities and roles to unhealthy sexual behaviors, and we're very concerned about that. My concerns were heightened when I saw a recent news article which, discussing this bill, said that some of the supporters said that they wanted this bill passed because it would give them leverage with school districts to promote some of their activities. And that's a key concern as to the organizers of this bill. I think the bill will be used to target school officials as well. I gave you a handout of some material from the Rainbow Families, which has already testified. This is a handout that a teacher received through a teacher training program. Unbeknownst to him or this individual, they were in a situation where they basically tried the notion of same-sex marriage was promoted, and teachers were really challenged on their beliefs of not accepting same-sex marriage. And so we're concerned that this will be used to target teachers and school officials as well. Another concern is there's a lot of discussion about pulling sexual orientation from the human rights statute into the educational setting. I think this is in direct conflict with existing state policy as found in Chapter 363A, which states, nothing in this chapter shall be construed to authorize or permit the promotion of homosexuality or bisexuality in educational institutions or require the teaching in education institutions of homosexual or bisexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. And I believe what the promoters of this bill are trying to do is to bring in that concept into the education system. And that was clearly stated as not the intent for using those categories in 363A. We believe that this also raises free speech issues. The terms incorporated into this law and expanded upon, harassment, for instance, is undefined. It's not listed as to what that constitutes. And will there be a situation where a student or somebody says, I don't agree with same-sex marriage or transgenderism or something like that? Are they going to be accused of harassment? I'm concerned that this will step over from addressing bullying, which we all agree is wrong and needs to be addressed, to endorsement and discouragement of people expressing free speech ideas. We believe that this is a major policy change and injects a significant degree of controversy into the issue of bullying, something I think we can all agree on. By singling out specific groups, you are giving special preference. In a sense, you're communicating that certain groups of people or characteristics are more important than others. Our belief is that all forms of bullying we should have zero tolerance for, not just particular groups and activities. I believe that this legislation, instead of reducing conflict and acrimony, will actually increase it in our schools. We're already seeing this happen in a number of school districts where we see these sorts of bullying and harassment programs brought into play. I think it will only increase frustration among parents, students, and teachers who don't see an effort to address a bullying behavior, but rather indoctrination on controversial issues. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. Are there any questions at this point? If not, then our next testifier is Ms. Leslie Chaudhry. And then we also have Ms. Jill Rose, if you can come forward and be ready to offer your testimony as well. Ms. Chaudhry, good morning. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly.
You did. Just perfect.
Thank you.
I'm the parent of three children, two of whom are school age, and we live in the Minneapolis School District. I would like to start by saying that I am all for schools making efforts to change the school climate to being a positive environment for all children. My own child was bullied both physically and verbally at school. My daughter suffered through a series of incidents, but this occurred and continued only because the school did not enforce the bullying policy that they already have in place. It wasn't for lack of a law or a policy. So I agree that our goal is to stop bullying, and my concern is that that's not what this bill is all about. I'd like to point out that the creators, people backing this bill, are calling it a DLBT bill. Out Front Minnesota's website states last week when it passed the Senate committee, three DLBT bills passed committee. So my concern is about the focus, that it is not about all children. And my experience last year at Hale Elementary School does heighten my concern about this. Last year, the Minneapolis School District introduced the Welcoming Schools curriculum. It's a curriculum created by the Human Rights Campaign, a DLBT political organization, and it was created to address bullying. However, the curriculum, once you review it, it realizes an agenda to indoctrinate young elementary school children and beliefs contrary to many of their parents. It seeks to introduce gender identity, homosexual marriage, and stereotyping issues to children in the elementary school environment. The Welcoming Schools website says the curriculum gives specific and explicit attention to family diversity, and it addresses anti-gay bias within discussions of bullying. One example of this is the recommended use of the King and King book. In this book, the message is about is not about bullying, but a prince who falls in love with another prince. They get married, share a wedding cake and a kiss, and I'd like to show you the final page of this book that is used in kindergarten through third grade. This is simply intended to indoctrinate young children to accept homosexual marriage. This topic is controversial, and it's not appropriate for elementary classrooms, much less lessons designed to address bullying. I felt very uncomfortable with the content and did not feel that my child, who was not engaging in bullying behavior, needed to learn about alternatives to our family's beliefs as a Muslim family. After bringing up my concerns, I was publicly yelled at and humiliated at a parent meeting by the principal. We had our sidewalk graffitied, and we were called names such as homophobes and gay bastards. So, in essence, my family was bullied because we did not want our children to participate in the lesson. So I'd really like you to understand the problems that families and children will face because of this bill. Will we no longer be able to express a difference of opinion about homosexuality in schools? Stating that you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman should be protected speech, but this bill could lead schools to say that this is intimidating speech or bullying and therefore no longer allowed. The advocates for the Welcoming Schools curriculum are the same people promoting this bill, and it will simply elevate sexual orientation and gender identity issues at the expense of addressing bullying of all children in our schools for whatever reason. The bill, which requires a training program and process for school officials and parents, will be used to force schools to teach and indoctrinate children into accepting one way of thinking about GLBT issues. It only takes precious time and money away from academic concerns and divides our communities rather than brings us together.
Thank you, Ms. Chaffee. Are there any questions? Representative Paul.
Two quick questions. First of all, can you show me in this bill where it is forcing schools or the children in the schools to read that book?
What the bill does is it requires a process and teacher training. It says school employees shall receive training on preventing and responding to harassment, bullying, and intimidation and violence. And as we just heard from the person that testified from ART, who pointed out the PACER curriculum that is used to address bullying of students with disabilities, that shows that this does open up the possibility of curriculum with a specific agenda in mind to be used.
So in the bill itself, but in the bill itself, it doesn't call for that at all. Then,
Ms. Chubb,
it's speculation.
In my school, and I'm speaking to my experience, that this curriculum was used and brought into the school to address bullying. A perceived bullying of gay students. It's a K-4 school, and for some reason it was perceived bullying of gay students.
One last question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You used the words teach and indoctrinate. Can you tell me where in this bill we're forcing teaching and indoctrination of anything, because, and like a previous testifier said, I think it was Ms. Hazen said, that it's not requiring any curriculum, it's not requiring any teaching to the students at all. So where are we teaching and indoctrinating in this bill?
We also had a testifier that did say that there is curriculum that could be used because of this bill.
Representative Katz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question I have for you, Ms. Chowdhury, is in your current policy in your school district, does it list sexual orientation as part of the policy that is in place at your school?
Ms. Chowdhury, and I take it that your students are part of the Minneapolis Public Schools.
Right, and I guess I do not feel like I should be answering about a Minneapolis school district policy.
Okay. Well, the question I'm trying to come to here is that was the curriculum introduced regardless of whether or not the policy stated anything with, you know, harassment, bullying, and things like that? Would this, I'm trying to see a connection of where you think that this would bring about in other school districts the opportunity for that book to be read or anything anything like that, when it already was without this statute introduced in your school, mm-hmm. and wondering how that connection can be inferred.
Ms. Sotheby.
I think that the inclusion of a requirement for school districts then to have teacher training. So in the as it is now, maybe school districts bring in groups like Rainbow Families, and that is a choice. What this will do is take that choice away, and it will require teacher training if there is a real or perceived occurrence of bullying.
Thank you, Ms. Chaudhary. And we may want to perhaps clarify at some point from Minneapolis School District if there's anyone here as to the first part of Representative Katz's question. Representative Ornette.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I simply wanted to thank Mr. Chaudhary for coming. It's difficult to come in front of a committee to oppose legislation. It takes a lot of special spirit, so I appreciate you being here.
It certainly does. It takes a lot of spirit to just come and testify in front of this august body sometimes. but we are just regular folks in many ways, and hopefully we approach our work with open minds and open hearts. So thank you for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Ms. Rose? Very well. And then I think I have another Deanne Lomo. Perhaps if you could move your toward the front as well. And then we'll hear from Ms. Rose. Good morning.
Good morning. As the chairman said, my name is Jill Rose, and I want to thank you for listening to my testimony. This has been sort of an emotional process for me the past year. I want to share a little bit about I may be in the minority in terms of the parents that I represent and the concerns I represent, but I do also know that we have rights as parents in the minority to be heard and to be protected too. So I want to share a little bit about my experience. I'm a parent of two elementary age children. I first want to affirm also that I oppose all bullying and harassment of all children for any reason, and I teach my own children to respect and value all people, even those we don't happen to agree with. I oppose this bill, the Safe Schools for All bill, because it explicitly calls out individual groups who are already legally protected under the current law. And I sincerely don't believe that adding this to the language will protect children any more than is currently available process in the law. I have a concern that anytime you enumerate people, you leave people out. As the co-chair of the diversity committee at my son's elementary school for 4 years, I saw many different types of behavior in students who could be targets of bullying. I think it's impossible to enumerate them all. In this current bill, I don't see any provision for mental health or developmental issues for behaviors such as anorexia or bullying of students who smoke. I mean, I think there's endless. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just endless. But so I oppose this because it explicitly calls out individual groups who are already protected, and then requires teacher training in a process to address the intimidation, harassment, and bullying. And I have some firsthand experience on how this bill will be used at the elementary school level to promote same-sex marriage and gender identity issues in a manner that can undermine some parents' rights to teach their children their worldview and values, and I'm one of them. In the name of the goal of anti-bullying and bullying prevention, last year at Hale Elementary School in Minneapolis, actually, two springs ago, 2007, Minneapolis Public Schools was approached by Rainbow Families and brought to the table with a human rights campaign to discuss use of their welcoming schools curriculum, which is now being piloted at Hale School. Minneapolis agreed to 3 pilots, but I think due to some parent opposition issues, it's just being currently piloted at Hale, if I'm understanding. This happened despite any data to suggest that there were bullying issues of children from GLBT families. It just, and the principal said in a written statement that the curriculum would be piloted regardless of teacher and staff and parent objections.
the curriculum Welcoming School is called groundbreaking, not because it contains lessons on anti-bullying, which it does, but because it targets young children in kindergarten through fifth grade with lessons on family diversity and gender identity, which are geared towards gaining acceptance of same-sex marriage and gender identity issues. The deception that we saw on the part of Hale School administration, and then the divisiveness that occurred in the Hale community, is a very apt lesson to lawmakers on how the Safe Schools for All bill can be used for political gain by special interest groups, and how it will be used by gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender interest groups. The Safe Schools for All bill is exemplified, as I said, at Hale Elementary School, where my children attended. This spring, children are receiving lessons under the category of anti-bullying and bullying prevention. Welcoming School's stated objective in their curriculum pilot is to develop, quote, new understandings of the diversity of families, explore stereotypes that children hold about families, and be told that there are no wrong families. Also, they will be given packets of photographs of individuals and be instructed to, quote, create some families with adults of the same gender. And this is in first, second, and third grade. And then be told there are no right answers, which may set up some conflict that you can imagine in children's minds whose parents are teaching them something different at home. Also, in their stated objectives, it's to discuss gender stereotyping using traditional fairy tales and then, quote, expand children's notions of gender-appropriate behavior through non-traditional fairy tales such as King and King, which you saw a copy of. In the Welcoming School's glossary, this was particularly disturbing to me, the glossary of terms that teachers are provided and encouraged to use as a guide, teachers will guide kindergarten children to understand that the term lesbian is defined as two women who love each other in a special way. You can imagine the confusion that this causes in a second grader's mind who may now think that her mother and her best friend are lesbians. A lesbian woman on the diversity committee asked me last year, well, what's wrong with that? To which I replied, well, it's not true, and it's a half-truth, and it's not a... In order to define lesbianism, you need to get into the topic of sexual orientation, which causes you to talk about sex, which is inappropriate at second grade. So it's a half-truth, and I found that disturbing. If your kids are in third through fifth grade, they can learn the definitions of words like dyke, faggot, transgendered, and queer, and they can learn them from their teachers. I feel strongly that the Welcoming School curriculum and likewise the Safe Schools for All bill will be used to undermine parents' rights to teach their worldview, and is a bold new attempt to indoctrinate a new generation of children to support same-sex marriage and other GLBT-specific social issues. I want to also add on a personal note that my husband and I, we seek to instill in our children at home the value of giving and volunteerism, and because of this, my husband gives blood regularly. He has a rare type of blood. Every single time he goes, he has to answer the question, have you ever had sex with a man, even once, since 1977? If the answer is yes, they will not take your blood. The reason why is it's unsafe behavior. It's a health risk. I would ask the state not be allowed or involved in a law which will allow promotion of unsafe and unhealthy behavior to our children. You will notice that some of the same GLBT advocacy groups involved in bringing Welcoming Schools curriculum, Rainbow Schools, to Hale, also co-authored the Safe Schools for All bill. I'm concerned about this bill because I believe it will be used to take what's happening at Hale statewide.
Thank you, Ms. Rowe. So, let me just ask very quickly. I do appreciate and honor you and your husband's efforts in terms of volunteerism, including your work with your school district. But I feel like I need to, and I probably should be asking this of everyone. But do you also promote the acceptance of the inherent dignity of all individuals, regardless of whatever family style they reside in?
Yeah.
You do?
That's what I thought I started with. I teach my children to value and accept all children at school and all people, regardless of their differences. I mean, I think it's all about valuing and accepting their differences. We do not teach our children to hate, in fact, yeah.
Very well.
Anybody.
That's good. That's good common ground for us. Miss, I hope I pronounced this correct, Miss Flomo, Deanne. Good morning, welcome. And then we have two other individuals who have signed up, and we're 15 minutes away from adjourning, Mr. Aronson and Mr. Schneiderwin, and then I want to make sure that we have some time for engagement among the committee members and for Representative Dabney, so we have a lot to cover in 15 minutes. So, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for hearing me out, and I'll try to make it brief.
Thank you.
My name again is Deanne Flomo, and I'm also a parent. I have four children, and two of them are elementary age at Hale School in Minneapolis, of course. And I'm for safe schools, and I believe that every individual needs to be treated with respect, no matter who they are, what family background they come from. Wrong is wrong. If people are mistreated, it should be dealt with. But the thing that I have a problem with this deal is it really drills out my experience at Hale School with this welcoming school curriculum. And I really feel the underlying motivation for that curriculum at Hale is indoctrination of young children with unsafe same-gender behavior, as opposed to addressing all bullying of children. And the GLBT groups, which are promoting this bill, seek to promote redefining marriage, alternative gender identities, and promotion of homosexuality, not just eliminating bullying. And our principal at Hale decided to pilot this welcoming school curriculum under the disguise of anti-bullying, even though I believe its goal is to promote acceptance among elementary school children of homosexuality, alternative gender identities, and defining the family. This curriculum moves from stopping bullying behavior to indoctrinating students as young as 5 and 6 years of age, and I just believe that's very unhealthy for kids to be exposed to. What I learned through this whole experience of piloting this curriculum at our school is how much it divided our community. It's kind of like us against them, you know, one group against another group, which I don't believe should be the case. I think people should look at all sides of what's going to be beneficial for all children. And rather than looking at that, people, it drove us further apart. And parents who, like me and other parents who voiced their opposition against this curriculum, were bullied themselves by parents, being called names like homophobic and gay bashers, and I just felt that was unfair too. And I just believe in fairness and hearing out everyone and their opinion. And so I believe a bill before the legislature will only divide schools across our state rather than bring us together and truly address the problem of bullying. The group supportive of the Safe Schools Bill of the GLBT bullying curriculum at Hale, they seek to promote GLBT positions regarding family structure, gender identities, and homosexuality again. So I just believe that our current law states intimidation of all forms of bullying of any student, and we don't need a new law, and that's my feeling.
Thank you, Ms. Flomo. It's always good to have parents come. We don't have enough parents to come forward before a committee, so it's good to have parents here this morning.
You.
Are there any questions from Ms. Flomo?
No.
Thank you again.
Okay,
then we'll move to Mr. Aronson and Mr. Schneiderwin.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Roger Aronson. I represent the Elementary School Principals Association and the Secondary School Principals Association. Before I start, I wanted to mention to the committee, I don't know if the committee has heard that Education Minnesota and the School Board Association are talking about a merger and coming out with a set of commercials endorsing the Minnesota Miracle. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Emerson. You know, we haven't kept up with the proud tradition of the Finance Committee, this session, where the Minnesota Miracle gets mentioned at every committee hearing, and so thank you for giving us an opportunity to atone for that.
Mr. Chair, you'd be surprised how many lobbyists did on that already this morning. A couple things we want to share with the committee. Obviously, you've seen the breadth of the discussion about Representative Dabney's bill here. First, I want to make very clear that we value all of the testimony from students, from the parents, from everyone that's come here to talk about this. When this bill was first introduced, we sent some emails out to our principals to say, give us some feedback about what you're doing, what you think the issues are surrounding the bullying question. And one of the things about this, I think that's important for the committee to know, because there's a lot of discussion about the bad things that are happening in schools, but to know that the primary response of folks to bullying is education with the kids. It's not a classic sort of deal where it's fighting and we suspend them. The first piece on this always is education. The issue that we have, we think that the current law actually covers the landscape very well in a form of language that works very well for the constituency that we have being students. And if you read the language that we passed in 05, it says that we prohibit the bullying or intimidation in any form by any means. And we think that works pretty well. It works well as a policy. To the extent that we have some failures on this, what we need are resources. We need school psychologists, we need counselors, we need principals, and we need money for training. To the extent that we just have a new policy or a change in the policy, that doesn't push us far enough in terms of what we'd like to do on this. We are, I just raised a concern or an interest in the language in the amendment and in the bill, where language says that our policies must conform with Chapter 363A. I'd submit that if we came forward to you and said we want to delete that language, that we have to comply with 363A, you'd ask us why we're doing that and what the impact of that is. And frankly, we don't know really what the impact of that is as we delete that particular cross-reference. Garden variety bullying, as a lot of us think of it, traditionally doesn't give rise to a cause of action under 363A as sexual harassment does, as discrimination does, and other categories. And that's why we've separated out the sexual harassment, religious harassment, and racial harassment in the past. We will do new policies if you direct us to, and I say that Representative Dabney has helped us with a couple of minor objections that we've had to the bill, but we really don't think that this is going to change much in that. I do think it's important. Some of the prior testifiers said that school districts don't have policies prohibiting these particular types of behavior. We do. We may just not have the language that's been identified in this particular bill. We have talked to some members as well that in the future we'd actually like to look at converting some of our policies to get away from the legalistic definitions and make them more age-appropriate. I mean, if you read these complex definitions, when we publish these in handbooks and hand them out to kids, if you hand that paragraph out to 7th graders and 8th graders, you know, it really doesn't have any effect. We need to be able to convert some of these to age-appropriate, and that's what we do with the training as well, Mr. Chair. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Why don't we hear from Mr. Steinwin and then open up for questions. Mr. Steinwin.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kirk Steinwin. I'm on staff with the Minnesota School Boards Association, and I did not get the memo that Roger was talking about, but evidently it's out there. But one of the things that, you know, obviously Representative Dabney and School Boards Association and all school organizations have the same goal in mind here. There's no question about it. All school districts strive to provide bully-free environments, safe learning environments without question. I think the issue before you today is that, and I've handed out our model policy to you and the model anti-violence policy as well for your purview, and I think the issue is this was mandated back in 2005, I believe it was, and I think we're in the fourth year of the policy, and what it started out historically as a laundry list back in those days when they were first developing the policy, they shrunk it down to a very simple, you guys go develop the policy and make sure it's comprehensive. We don't want to get into the laundry list business. And so as a result, what we've done is created a policy that is encompassing of all all students, all teachers, all administrators, school board members, regardless of their history or background. And so that is the point. I think that's the important distinction as you go along here today. Do we need to enumerate, or do we keep it broad enough to encompass all of those? And I believe that that's part of the reason our model policy is as broad as it is. Is that so? As a school board, you know, school board members govern through policy. They provide, the superintendents ensure that the procedures are in place and all of those things are enacted. And meanwhile, we have over 140 school board policies that are enacted and operationalized on a daily basis. So you can understand the enormity and capacity. I believe the MSCA policy is comprehensive enough, aggressive enough for those people who commit acts of bullying against others, whether it's a student to student or teacher to student or student to teacher, whatever it might be. And we have very strong discipline procedures in there for those acts that do occur and for those teachers who may ignore acts of bullying as well. So I believe our policy is broad enough and aggressive enough, as I've said. So I think the issue you've talked, Roger Arnson talked a little bit about the enumeration within the Human Rights Act as well, and I think that's an important piece for you to consider, is that if we're going to go down this list of enumerations, our preference would be to align those with the Human Rights Act so that we aren't going beyond and creating another special set of special circumstances as well. So, you know, in the end, we have a model policy on the anti-violence, anti-bullying, anti-hazing, all of those required by the legislature. And we believe that ours is comprehensive, includes all of those pieces, and I think that's the discussion before you. Do we need to go down that road? And lastly, I want to make a point that they don't exactly, the Human Rights Act pieces that are enumerated within 363 don't exactly line up with the bill before you. There are some distinguishing differences that I think need to be discussed, ironed out, and worked out before you move forward. So I'll stop there and be available for questions.
Thank you, members. We have about 5 minutes. I've got a couple of several members. I believe Representative Demmer, you had placed a placeholder way back, so I'm going to go right to you first.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't often do that, but I did get a chance this time. Well, I'm going to cut short a lot of things I had to say. I think we've heard it very well from the testifiers. You know, I think I know everybody on this committee. There's nobody here that supports bullying. We all know that, so we can eliminate some of that rhetoric as to whether we support bullying or not. We know it's bad. We know it's not right. I would just say, you know, as a statement, first of all, I think that putting more of this language into statute, I think. I'm not sure it's helpful, and Representative Dabney, you're not surprised. I'm probably going to be not supporting your bill here today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I think when you come to administrators, teachers, paraprofessionals, I would submit even students and maybe even their parents, when it comes to bullying, I think it has more to do with content of character than it does about whether we have a statute or whether we have a policy or not, because it's not right, and nobody needs to tell us here at the table, and I think most people that. Having said that, there are things in statute and school boards I think do work very hard. So I guess what I'd like to do is go into some specific questions, Representative Dabney, on your bill and some of the practical things that might be problematic for...
Representative Dabney, let me just interrupt. We have 3 minutes, and I suspect we're going to have to lay this over and pick this up again then at our next hearing. We have a couple of other members who also have questions, but please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be as brief as I can. First of all, a question. There's in the language, it talks about on and off school property enforcing these provisions. I'm curious about what you think, and I'm going to list my questions, Representative Dabney, and then just for so you kind of get a scope of where we're going, and then you can address them as you want.
Representative Stemmer, let me just interrupt again. I do apologize. Members, we did not have a quorum until we were 10 minutes into this hearing. The chair was certainly here by 8:30. I'm going to suggest that we spend an extra 10 minutes to get in the necessary discussion here and take a vote on this. And I, please, and if you can all proceed with that understanding, I'd appreciate it. Representative Dabney.
Okay, again, Representative Dabney, my concern is how do you enforce off property? What are the expectations of the school? What do you perceive as a potential liability for the school district if something happens off campus and the school is responsible? Training. There's this, it talks about training here. What did you have in mind for the training? Would this be staff development dollars that would go toward this for the training for the teachers and that sort of thing? I'm wondering about that. A quick question about submitting to the commissioner. I know you took out the language that says the commissioner has to look at them, but they still have to submit them to them. So we're sending something to the commissioner they don't have to do anything with. So as a thought, we might not need that. And I guess I would just go with that, Representative Dabney.
Representative Dabney. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Demmer. The language regarding on and off campus is specific to the hazing policy, and you know some of the incidents that have gotten attention is the sports team or the other club that outside of school hours, off of campus, engages in some form of hazing as a introductory ritual to new members. So this simply sends a message to students that whether you're doing it on or off property, if it's coming out of a school activity, it is inappropriate behavior is prohibited and will be dealt with, much like the language in statute and in the bill regarding electronic forms of harassment or bullying. Those may happen on school computers or off of school computers during school with the cell phone or outside of school, but we still capture those behaviors. The training, schools routinely train teachers on the school policies and handbook. And as for the submission language on 2.14, you'll notice is current statute.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, briefly, the training specifically says, Representative Dabney, training on preventing and responding to harassment, bullying, intimidation, hazing, and violence. I would suggest that's a little more specific than just saying we're going to go over the handbook. So I have concern about that. And I guess the last comment that I will make, Mr. Chair, again, I think that we're delving into trying to anticipate, control people's behavior, people's intended behavior. I am very concerned about the tripwires here. I'm concerned about administrators. I'm concerned about school board members. I'm concerned about teachers, paraprofessionals, the potential for liability here in our litigious happy society as to whether somebody has done enough to prevent these sorts of things. It just concerns me. And quite frankly, my last comment would be, with this all in place, if there is a parent that feels like there is a bullying episode in the classroom and they complain to the administration, would this constitute something that would be marked in a teacher's file, for example, that there was bullying and they didn't enforce the policy, and could there be disciplinary action or something in the file that wouldn't be maintained because they didn't follow the policy? It's a tripwire, Representative Dabney, and I'm very concerned about that for all people in our schools.
Representative Newton, I believe you have on this point.
Yes, to the point, Mr. Chair. I wrote the District 11 policy, and it had off-campus bullying provisions, and it specifically is things like bus stops, any child on the way to school, extracurricular activities where the kids are on a bus, they're going someplace, or events that starts at school and is continued at the child's home or somewhere in between. So I think it's up to the individual school districts as to how they frame their policy. This gives them sort of a guideline, but it's really how the individual districts decide to go forward with this. And especially now when we've got the electronic bullying and the continuation of things that start at school and then are continued on cell phones or whatever.
Representative Breindert on this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Kurt Schneiderwin from MSDA would comment, because the Mankato School District already has a hazing policy that enforces on off-campus activities, and it's based on MSBA's model policy. So,
Mr. Snyderwood, if you could do that quickly, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to respect
Representative Breiner. And I think you're right. I think they talked about in the policy itself, it talks about on-school property or at-school-related functions, and it enumerates down here that talks about the area or entrance or departure from school grounds, premises, or events, and all school-related functions, school-sponsored activities, events, or trips. School property may also mean students walking route to or from school, bus stops. But I think it's also important that we point out that while not supporting or while prohibiting bullying at these location events, it's not always easy for school officials to monitor and prevent bullying activities.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to say I have zero tolerance for any acts of the issues that we brought up. I do support the language where you're talking about prohibiting harassment, bullying, intimidation, hazing, and violence, where you have expanded on that, and I appreciate that part. But when you talk about wanting to align up with the Human Rights Act, in Chapter 363A, especially .02, Section 5, where they talk about an education, their definition is somewhat similar to yours, but yours really expands the definition and makes it a little bit more subjective, I believe. So I really would like to have it align with the current law, and for that reason, I will be voting no. I hope we could work on it together.
Representative Swales.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I was very touched by the testimony from the parents, and I do feel that, you know, whatever they were talking about with this elementary school, that was kind of shocking to me that there is a school that allows this to be taught at such early ages. I'm a high school teacher. I've never heard of that before, so it was kind of a profound testimony for me. I share Mr. Aronson's concerns that what we do with making children aware of not behaving in a bullying manner, that it be age appropriate. And I do suggest to the author that somewhere in this bill that language might be included, particularly before it goes to the next committee. I will have to say that over my career and over my lifetime, I grew up in Missouri where there was a lot of harassment based on race back in the 60s and early 70s. And, you know, I hope that as a society we continue to move beyond that. I have particular rules in my classroom. I only have one rule in my classroom, and that is respect. The students operate out of respect for me, for one another, for the property in the classroom, and I'm also very strict on language. There's a very common statement that students say all the time, and it's, oh, that's so gay, and I will not allow that in my classroom. I will not allow crap or sucks or any other word, because genteel people do not speak using vulgarisms of any kind. So I do believe that this is a community effort. We need to instill in our community these values of saying that someone is different doesn't make them a target. And so I've gone on too long. I know we're limited on time, but Representative Dabney, I support the bill, but it would still be more palatable for me if you had age appropriate in here in terms of what children are exposed to at early ages.
Members, we have four other members that have questions and or comments. I think we are going to have to lay this over and continue it to discussion for tomorrow morning. Representative Dabney, I suspect it may cause some hardship to some of your supporters and testifiers of the bill, but I think it's important that we have a good discussion here, and I look forward to continuing this tomorrow morning. So with that, we will lay 1198 over, and we will reconvene tomorrow morning at our 8:30 time, members. And until then, this committee stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chairman.